Hi, I'm Rowan Molyneux and you're listening to Oddity, the podcast about all things strange and unexplained. In this episode, we'll be taking a look at an unsolved murder from the 1920s which continues to baffle people to this day, the Hinterkaifeck Massacre. The Gruber family lived on a small farm roughly 40 miles north of Munich. The farmstead was located close to the little village of Kaifeck, separated from the population of the hamlet by a mile and a half and a forest. Andreas and Cecilia Gruber lived there, along with their widowed daughter Victoria, their grandchildren little Cecilia, aged 7, and Joseph, aged 2, and the family's new maid, Maria. In late March 1922, Andreas Gruber told his neighbours that he had made an unsettling discovery. He had found footprints in the snow, leading from the edge of the forest right up to the farm, but none leading back. That wasn't the only unusual thing that happened over the previous days and months, he told them. He had found a newspaper that neither he nor any of the other members of the household remembered buying. One day, he had gone to check his tool shed and found damage on the door. It was evident to him that somebody had attempted to pick the lock. He'd also heard heavy footsteps coming from the attic, and, most worryingly, the keys to the house had gone missing. The occurrences had unnerved the entire family, to the extent that the previous maid had quit, claiming that the farm was haunted. Despite obviously feeling uneasy, Andreas had made the decision to not report these strange events to the local police. His neighbour offered to lend him a gun, but he declined. On March the 31st, 1922, Maria Baumgartner arrived at the farm to start her new job as the Gruber's maid. A few hours later, she would be dead, along with the other 5 inhabitants of the farm. After a few days, people began to wonder where the family were. Little Cecilia had missed school on both Saturday and Monday. The postman had voiced his concern when he realised that the post he had delivered on Saturday was still where he had left it, and the entire family had been missing from church on Sunday. On Tuesday the 4th of April, the Gruber's neighbours came up to the farm to check on the family, and eventually stumbled upon the horrific scenes. In the barn, they found the bodies of Andreas and his wife Cecilia, along with Victoria and little Cecilia. Their bodies had been methodically stacked on top of one another, and then covered in hay. Inside the house, they found the body of 2-year-old Joseph, who had been killed while sleeping in his cot. Maria, the maid who had arrived at the farm on Friday to start her brand new job, was dead in her new bedroom. Their bodies had been covered with blankets and clothing. Nobody will ever be entirely sure what happened on that Friday evening, but it seems that the family had been lured out to the barn, one by one. When each victim entered the barn, the murderer attacked them with a farm tool. It seems that the mysterious presence haunting the farm had managed to break into the tool shed after all. After killing the grandparents, mum and little girl, the murderer had then entered the house where they killed Maria and the baby. The autopsy showed that all of the victims were killed by blows to the head, but Victoria and her elderly mother had also been strangled. It was determined that the murder weapon was likely to be a mattock, a long-handled farm tool, with a chisel on one end and a blade on the other, similar in application to a pickaxe. But the weapon was nowhere to be seen. It was assumed that the killer had taken it with them. It might seem strange that the absence of the Gruber family didn't overly worry the neighbours until 4 days after the murders took place. After all, in the small community, a child's unexplained absence from school would be a concern. Cecilia was missing from school for 2 days before the citizens of Kaifeck went up to the farm. But the neighbours had no cause to be worried. They had seen smoke rising from the chimney of Hinterkaifeck over the weekend, after the family were already dead. Evidence revealed that the killer had stayed at the farm for several days after the horrific attacks. The cattle had been fed and milked, the family dog had been tied up outside, and somebody had eaten meals in the kitchen. This put a bit of a spanner in the works for the police, who had initially suspected that the motive was robbery. But would a thief-turned-murderer stay at the scene of a crime, looking after the animals and making themselves at home? Unlikely, yes, but possible. Then, in the process of searching the farm, a large amount of money was found in the house. It seems almost impossible that a robber would not have found it during their stay. Something unusual had been going on at Hinterkaifeck shortly before the murders. Something other than the mysterious footprints in the snow and noises in the attic. Andreas was known to be waiting for an important letter in the days before the murder, although the people he had told about it did not know what it concerned. And on the day of the murders, little Cecilia had been told off for falling asleep in class. She told classmates that the night before there had been a huge family argument, and her mother had stormed off into the woods, shouting that she wanted to kill herself. They had looked for her for hours before finally finding her, and understandably, Cecilia hadn't got much sleep. In later years, the classmate who was questioned about it claimed that it was actually the grandmother, Cecilia Senior, who had stormed off. A few weeks before the murders, Victoria withdrew all of her money from the bank, and also borrowed some from her half-sister, supposedly to invest in the farm. A large donation was later found at the local church. The priest eventually managed to trace it to Victoria, who told him that she had donated it for missionary work. But if she was having to borrow money, why give it away again shortly afterwards? So who did kill the Gruber family? It's known that Andreas was not well liked in the village, but there's no record of anyone who hated him enough to brutally murder his entire family. Rumours sprung up that Carl Gabriel, Victoria's late husband, may not have actually been killed in World War I. His body was never found, although many of the men that he served with swore that they witnessed his death in the trenches in 1914. It has been suggested that he may have in fact survived, eventually making his way back to the farm, discovering that Victoria now had a young child, and flying into a murderous rage. Little Joseph's father was said to be a neighbouring farmer called Lawrence Schlittenbauer, who paid child support to Victoria. Shortly before the murders happened, Victoria was preparing to sue her ex-lover, who had recently had a child with a new wife, for further child support payments. Lawrence was part of the search party who found the bodies, and, according to witnesses, was strangely calm when they discovered the grisly scene. He was also the neighbour who offered to lend Andreas a gun days before the murders. The police never found any firm evidence linking Lawrence to the crime. But who was Joseph's real father? Although Lawrence claimed to be the two-year-old boy's dad, it was widely believed in the village that Joseph's real father was Andreas. Andreas was a known abuser who often beat his wife and daughter. Controlling and cruel, he refused to let Victoria remarry after her husband died. 7 years before the murders, the year after Carl was said to have been killed on the battlefield, Andreas and Victoria were found guilty of incest. She was imprisoned for a month, while Andreas was locked up for a year. Just how consensual their so-called relationship was has not been determined. The local rumour mill, of course, assumed the worst when Joseph was born, although Victoria always swore that Lawrence was the father. A number of other men in the village were also known to have been with Victoria, though none of them claimed that Joseph was theirs. It's safe to say that Lawrence's relationship with the Gruber family was fraught. He may have thought that Victoria was taking him for a fool, getting him to pay child support to her for a child that was actually her father's. Just days before the murders, Lawrence's new baby had died and been buried. He almost certainly would have resented Victoria asking him to pay for a child that he thought may not be his when his own child had just died. However, if Lawrence was the murderer and his horrendous acts were fueled by a resentment around child support payments, you'd think that he would have taken the easily located stash of money that the police came across when searching the house. We are also left with a big question mark over the strange occurrences at the farm. The footprints leading to the house but not away, the noises in the attic, the strange newspaper, the missing keys, along with the former maid quitting 6 months earlier, claiming that the farm was haunted. Somebody may have been lurking in the house for weeks, even months, before the murders took place. The heads of the victims were removed by a court-appointed doctor and sent to Munich to be examined in more detail. The heads were also examined by clairvoyants who gave no useful information. The headless bodies of the Gruber family were buried in the nearby town and remain headless to this day. Their skulls were lost during the Second World War and were never returned from Munich. Many people suspect that Lorenz Schlittenbauer murdered the Grubers. However, there are other potential culprits, such as Victoria's husband, who may or may not have died in the war. Some people have even suggested that something supernatural could have killed the family. There was also an escapee from a mental hospital on the loose at the time. Joseph Bartel, a baker who had committed a murder in 1919 and escaped from the secure institution in 1921, was reportedly spotted in the region by witnesses. A dangerous man on the run, needing a place to stay, would fit with the footprints leading to the house and the noises in the attic. Although the way that the animals were looked after does suggest that the culprit is likely to be a farmer. More than 100 suspects have been questioned over the years, but the police have never been able to solve the crime. In 2007, students at the police academy in Fürstenfeldbruck looked at the case using modern techniques. Their conclusion was that it wouldn't ever be possible to definitively solve the crime. Evidence has been lost over the years, suspects have died, and after all, the investigative techniques in 1922 produced very little useful evidence in the first place. The students did, however, have a prime suspect in mind. They declined to name the suspect, out of respect for the surviving relatives. The farm was demolished a year after the attacks. When they cleared the debris away, they found something unexpected in the attic. The murder weapon. As had been suspected, it was indeed a mattock. It was still covered in dried blood. Thank you for listening to Oddity. If you have any suggestions for topics you'd like to hear discussed, you can get in touch at Oddity Podcast on Twitter. Join me, Rowan Molyneux, next time for another journey into the strange and unexplained.